Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Any of us look back and say interracial marriage should still be illegal on the day after Barack Obama is elected president of the United States?
If Barack Obama's parents were same-sex married, Barack Obama would have never been born.
Wouldn't it be cool if we could get 20,000 people having sex for seven straight days?
What we're saying is we're willing to accept some infanticide as the implication of our support for abortion.
Faith has sustained me through the challenges and the joys of my presidency, and faith will guide me for the rest of my days.
One of the most valuable things that the Christian church has and holds to is history. I mean, think about it. Our faith is historical. The life of the church is historical. We live in real history. Whether or not Christians make history is irrelevant. We live in a real history, the place where God has put you in time, on the timeline of human existence. He put you there for a reason. That's for the great and the small. We're going to be talking about one of the, at least in the eyes of the world and of the church, one of the greats, here in the first 10 minutes of this hour of Issues, etc. 6th century Emperor Justinian. We'll be remembering him along with the church on this day. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Friday, November the 14th. Feel free to join us as we come to you live, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or email us with questions or comments right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. A little later in the program, after we talk about Justinian, 6th century emperor, Pastor Greg Alms will be our guest. Greg Kokel will be our guest. We're going to respond to some arguments that Keith Olbermann of MSNBC has been making in favor of gay marriage. A lot of it has to do with love. We'll see what Greg has to say in about 10 minutes here on the program. 1-877-623-MYIE or talkback@issuesetc.org. Pastor Greg Olms is a regular guest. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Catawba, North Carolina, and he's author of the blog Incarnatus Est. Greg, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. Glad to be here.
Usually it's a priest, a monk, perhaps an occasional pope among the saints that the church remembers. Why today an emperor, a politician?
Yes, good question. I think there's several good reasons to remember Justinian. First, you know, just generally, you know, when we talk about government and rulers and princes and presidents and kings, we are talking about people whom God uses, whom God works through, and in Christian history in the West, many of them, if not all, you know, were Christians. But even so, you know, the government is a good creation of God, and God uses it for His purposes in the world. So, you know, good princes, good governmental leaders who serve the world in a faithful and just way, you know, deserve to be remembered, and also by the church. Justinian was kind of unique. He was a very able emperor, a very able ruler in many ways, you know, in the governmental sense. But he was also a fine Christian, a pious Christian, an observant Christian who took his faith seriously. So, you know, both sides of that coin then prompt him, you know, to make an appearance on the calendar, I think, you know, justified one.
We need to understand a bit of the history surrounding Justinian, namely that even by this time, not only the world but also the church in some ways was divided east from west. Talk about that, if you would.
Yes, the he was Roman emperor, but by the 6th century, you know, early in the in the 500s, this cultural and political and religious divide between West and East, Latin and Greek, had become very pronounced, and the Roman Empire, which had previously been centered at Rome, as a Roman Empire, you know, as a Latin Empire, had more or less ceased to exist, and it was in the East, in Constantinople, in what we have come to know as the Byzantine Empire, that the traditions of Rome were carried on. And it was, as a Greek emperor of the Roman Empire, centered in Constantinople, Justinian was an emperor there, and was important in these divisions. For he did a lot to unite the empire again, at least briefly in his lifespan, and for a time afterwards, east and west. He military conquests regained from the barbarians, as we call them, parts of the west, Italy, Spain, and so forth. And under his rule, was able to reunite the empire militarily, politically, and also did his best, with some success, to unify the church as well, east and west, and also some major divisions theologically, also in the Eastern Empire. And he was dedicated to trying to solve those, and had a mixed record on that.
How would you summarize the nature of the theological disputes that prevailed during Justinian's time, and what he did, if anything, to help bring resolution to those debates?
Yes. Well, this was right in the middle of the Christological controversies that began with the Council of Nicaea in 325, about 200 years before Justinian's time. And the ongoing debates about Nicaea was about whether Jesus Christ was actual God, was the Son of God, fully divine. And that controversy morphed or changed in or developed over time also into a controversy or an ongoing theological dispute over the relationship between the divine nature and the human nature in Christ. And Justinian did have some success. The West had and East had been in a schism for some time before Justinian and his uncle came to power, Justin I, and over these questions. And the West happened to be on a little more firm ground, the Pope and so forth. And Justinian moved with his uncle to reunite the Eastern and the Western Church and to heal that schism which had come about over some of these Christological questions. In the latter part of his reign, he tried to reach out to another group called the Monophysites, which drifted way over onto one side of this question and tried to argue that Christ only had one nature, really, and not two. And Justinian did everything that he could to try to reunite them with the church under the banner of two natures, and he never really could. And in some folks' mind, he went too far towards the Monophysite position, but even so, he was never able to bring them back into the Orthodox, you know, Catholic Church.
Was there, in this time, with only about a minute here, was there in this time any tension about a professed Christian seeing himself not only as emperor of this eastern part of the world, but also as, in some sense, a champion of the Christian faith? 1 minute.
Yes. You know, there had already been a tradition that the emperors in the East, especially, were active participants in the theological controversies. Mostly they tended to convene councils and let the bishops do their work and took a hand in enforcing the decisions that the church hierarchy came to. Justinian was a little more active than that, very well educated theologically, and he tried to do some things on his own, and it did provoke tension when he promulgated some edicts all by himself. It's a different tradition in the Byzantine Empire, but even he did provoke a little bit of controversy by kind of being a lone ranger on a few things.
Then, with only a minute, Pastor Alms, why is it important for Christians today, the church today, to remember the saints of the past? 1 minute.
Well, the saints of the past are members of the church. You know, there's a marvelous phrase that I think it's G.K. Chesterton, a Roman Catholic, coined, a democracy of the dead. And you know, if you're in a church meeting, you listen to all voices are heard, and you know, and those which are orthodox and scriptural from the past, you know, demand our attention. You know, the church wasn't born yesterday. There's wisdom and foundation and depth in the past centuries, which we only make ourselves shallow and weak if we ignore it.
Pastor Greg Alms is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Catawba, North Carolina, and author of the blog Incarnatus Est. You'll find a link to Pastor Alms' blog under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back from this break, well, he's a raconteur, and he has some rather pointed opinions. Many do in the media. Keith Olbermann has been making some arguments in favor of gay marriage on his MSNBC program. Perhaps you've seen him. Yes, he does engage in high-flown and sometimes strident rhetoric, but he makes arguments that are common to many who support the gay marriage enterprise. Greg Kokel will join us from Stand to Reason on the other side of this break, and for the remainder of this hour of Issues Etc., we'll be responding to the arguments made by Keith Olbermann on MSNBC in favor of same-sex marriage. They do boil down to the issue of love, and we'll deal with that on the other side of the break. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE, or email us, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Stay tuned. Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the Sponsors section of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week, issuesetc.org. And click on-demand audio.
Evangelical and Catholic. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Parental involvement limits abortions.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
The overall minor abortion rate in the United States fell by close to 50% between 1985 and 1999. Studies show that parental involvement laws played an important role in that decline. Overall, when a state enacts a parental involvement law, the abortion rate drops about 13%. Laws that require parental consent rather than simply notification lead to even fewer abortions. Currently, 36 states have parental involvement laws on the books, with some more effective than others. Those in Minnesota and Mississippi are among the most effective in reducing abortions among minors.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.